This is Will's Band of the Week for July 17th, 2022. Welcome to another edition of Will's Band of the Week. This is Will, along with David from an undisclosed remote location.
Yes, I'm buried in the Rocky Mountains safely, like the U.S. nuclear arsenal.
I think we talked about that before. You're in a, some kind of like a bomb shelter or something, right?
Yeah, it's amazing how I can get reception and Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
Some far down below ground. But
seems to be working,
the technology
though.
Technology is really good, yeah. Oh, it's that studio upgrade, you know. I spent it all in the bunker.
We have to, we have to be prepared to do studio upgrades in any kind of a situation, you know. Any climate, any elevation, above ground, below ground, whatever it takes, the studio upgrade will happen.
That's all right. Speaking of location, I was chastised by you for putting together a lineup that was entirely Brooklyn-based.
Right.
Even though I'm not in Brooklyn. And then I defended myself by saying that one of our bands was from L.A., and then it turned out, oh, what do you know? They moved to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom.
Yep. So it is a theme. It was kind of not on purpose, right? Just turned out that way.
I tried to get away from Brooklyn, and yet it was a failure.
Yeah. Well, we'll get to those soon. You know, I guess we don't really have any live reports, but we have sort of secondhand and streaming live reports, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, in theory, we have a massive live report because Chris and you and Jeremiah and I were all watching the Pitchfork Festival from Chicago. So Jeremiah had the distinction of watching it in person. The rest of us were just sitting there in our easy chairs.
Right.
Watching phones, TVs.
Yeah.
iPads, laptops, who knows what device.
And when it was working, it was mostly working really well. But then I would have it just cut out on occasion. It would just stop playing. And then a couple times when there was supposed to be a live feed, I clicked on it and I was getting like ads, and then I was getting interviews and like filler material. And they had a link on their site, and then I think they had feeds from two different stages, right? So I don't know if they had two going at the same time.
Stages, yes. And if they weren't broadcasting something on one stage for a while, then you got a barrage of ads that never ended, and you felt like, well, where's the content? Because the content wasn't there. Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was a lot of skipping around, but I have to give them credit for one thing. Technically the only issue was that sometimes there seemed to be the video and the audio seemed to be out of sync.
Mm-hmm.
So people were saying, "Oh, is somebody lip syncing? What's going on?" But I think it was a glitch. But I have to give them credit. They not only put out every band live that they said they would, but there were a few that were live and they weren't even indicated on the schedule. The Linda Lindas were listed on the schedule as being interviewed, but they weren't listed as performing, and yet they did. They showed the whole set, which was fabulous. So it was everything they promised and more, from my end, anyway.
And it was kind of funny when we'd be watching something on the stream and then make a comment in our chat, and then Jeremiah's like in front of the stage, like I'm waiting for them to cut to the crowd and see if I can see Jeremiah, but I did not at any point.
I know. I was looking for him, too. And then once the Linda Lindas left the stage, apparently they came right down next to him because he was taking a photo of them posing for photos with fans. So,
yeah.
But we don't have one with Jeremiah in the same frame as the Linda Lindas, which would have been great.
Jeremiah tends to get in the thick of things, so it looks like he succeeded in that. So we'll get a real live report from him, hopefully soon. And
we should. But I, I should just say that I was very, well, the Japanese breakfast set was fabulous, as it always is. Featured a guest shot from Jeff Tweedy.
Right.
The Lucy Dacus performance was unbelievable, and the crowd was really, really into that one. Camp Cope, I thought, was incredible, and they were having a really great time. Just enjoying the hell out of the festival, I think. I don't know. Who else did you see that you thought was really great?
The National was really pretty solid.
Oh, my God,
really,
yes.
Like, really great production, and sound was great. Oh, and
yeah.
Matt Berninger can't quite hit all the notes like he could, like, 15 years ago, but still doing reasonably well. And they, yeah, I mean, they're such indie rock veterans by now, you know. It's a professional performance. And,
absolutely. And they had a, you know, for someone who's not a super National fan, it was a great set because it had, like, you know, some of the early stuff that I know and some of the later stuff that I know and maybe a couple of songs that I'm not familiar with, but it was sort of a career spanning set. It was really nice.
Yeah. The other artist that I thought was pretty cool, I turned on the stream during my lunch hour at work, for the very first artist. And,
oh yes. Very difficult name. Arooj Aftab.
It was Arooj Aftab, yeah. And I thought, this is really good. And then Chris told us that, I guess, Stephen Thompson had her album in his top 10 or something last year. So that's kind of cool, isn't it, when they find these artists and you haven't heard of them and then you realize they're really good. So pretty good.
Yeah, there's also a band or an artist called Spelling, that's with three L's instead of two L's,
mm-hmm.
from Oakland. And I never heard of them at all, but that was they were pretty impressive too.
I didn't see that one at all. So yeah, I saw a little bit of the Linda Lindas. I saw what else? There must have been there were a couple others, but I'm not remembering right now. But yeah, pretty cool, pretty fun to watch that live feed. And I think it was raining for some of it too, right? You couldn't really tell.
Oh,
I saw references
to Friday. The Friday performances were just in pouring rain. You could see the rain pouring down in front of between the camera and the front of the stage. it was fine for the performers. I think. I think they had shelter pretty much, although some of them got a little bit wet. But it was the crowd. You had to be really determined to stay in that crowd for the whole day. It's quite wet.
With all the electrical connections, I wonder how they make sure it's safe for the performers. You know, you got all this stuff plugged in, and obviously you've got a roof over the stage, but still you can have, like, rain can be blowing kind of sideways. I don't know, but they seem to have it all figured out. Pretty great. All right, that's our pseudo
report. Well, we don't have
report.
Any deaths of the week, but we do have a band death of the week, do we not?
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, the Goon Sax. Should we play the jingle for the Goon Sax? I think maybe we should.
Okay.
And now it's time for the Death of the Week.
Yeah, just sort of out of the blue, the Goon Sax announced on their social media, we've decided to end our tenure as a band.
Yes, and we're all still, you know, friends, and everything is fine, everything is great, but we're not a band anymore, so.
Yeah.
That was the message.
Yeah. And you don't know the backstory, because they didn't say what the backstory is, but you never know what it could be. One or more of them could be burned out from touring. One or more of them might not get along. I mean, you just don't know. So.
Right. Well, it isn't because they are, you know, as an enterprise, they're failing. That's for sure, because they seem to be really kind of on the move.
Didn't they have some, like, really good upcoming tour dates that they canceled? I think, if I read that right.
Yeah, they had a whole tour. They've been on tour, and they were continuing on tour, yeah. And I think they were getting a lot of attention, so.
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, yep. Sad to see.
But at least we didn't have any physical deaths of the week.
Right.
Just the band.
Right.
I'm sure there are probably other bands that broke up this week that we don't even know about.
Probably, yeah. Maybe there are
probably every week.
Right, Right.
No one's actually died, so that's good.
Yeah. All right. Should we start rocking with the our lineup for the week?
Yeah, I think we should start with somebody from Brooklyn. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. I guess I feel like it's starting with something that's rocking is always fun. So let's talk about Mama. So here's what I know about Mama. I listened to this album. I'd seen a couple of like preview things saying, hey, this album's coming out. And they're going to be opening here for Snail Mail. And I'd seen that listing. I thought, okay, well, this will be worth listening to. And so, you know, added the album to the collection. I was out for a walk. I was kind of taking a long walk, and I said, I'll listen to this album. And just immediately, I just liked it. Very, very likable, easy to digest and fun and everything. And then after I had decided I really like it, I remembered that I actually listened to their last album. I had their last album. And I'm like, this is the third one, but the second one I had listened to and liked. But this one I think is the best they've done. They just put it all together, production-wise, song-wise, consistency. You know, it's 12 songs and there's really not much weak stuff on here, I think. So there, I've said everything about it now. So,
my experience was you told me about it. I had not heard of them at all. So obviously I missed albums one and two. So I didn't know the name at all. And I started listening, and like immediately from the top, it was like, oh my God, this is great. And then it sort of progressed toward the middle of the record, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm on board. I'm done. I'm finished here. This is great. There's not a weak song here. They're incredible. And then it just kept going. And then I felt like, oh my God, this is so good that maybe they should have held back some of this material for their next record. It's that good. You know what I mean? It sealed the deal, and then it just kept on going and getting even better. And I was knocked out. Anyway, I sent a song from this to a friend who I always like send him these little Spotify bits. Mm-hmm. And he was like, this is he listened to one cut, and then he started listening to the record, and he messaged me back. He said, this is the best music you've ever sent me. Now, I probably sent him, like, you know, 100 different songs. Different people. Maybe somewhere between 50 and 100.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, that's validation, man. There's something going on here.
Yeah.
So,
was it you or someone else who called them the American wet leg?
Well, that was me. But you know, they might even be better than wet leg. I'm not putting down wet leg. I know everybody likes to put them down for, you know, because they're so popular. But I'm not putting them down.
Mama might be better. It's a little different in that it's a little more like 90s rock. Well, let's just play a track. The listeners can decide what it sounds like. I think I'm going to be predictable, but how can you not play number two, Speeding 72?
Okay.
Seven to two.
That's Mama.
Yes, everybody that talks about them makes reference to them sounding like a mishmash of various 90s groups. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I guess I hear all that, but I kind of hear them as themselves at this point. But as you said, they're on their third album.
Yep.
So they really got it together, and I think the production here is insanely good. So,
yeah.
I mean, that really does make it.
Yep, really is. Well,
all right. I'm gonna be predictable and make listeners listen to the one that is sort of being promoted as the single, which is number 3, Medicine.
That's Mama.
Yeah, you mentioned that they're opening for Snail Mail, so that means you have the opportunity to see them open for Snail Mail, I think August 31st.
That's
and
when
I
it is.
I have the opportunity to see them actually headline, if I want to, and I do, in September. We're all set.
I think it was just yesterday I was listening to this album and thinking, man, this is really good. I should probably go to that show. And then, of course, I looked it up, and it's sold out.
Uh-oh.
But, you know, they're always aftermarket
tickets. Well,
they're
never really sold out. It's just a question of, do you want to pay $1 million to get in?
Yeah, we'll see what the market rate is the week of the show, maybe. And then
exactly.
Sometimes the market collapses, sometimes late. So we'll see.
That's right. You don't know if those tickets are bought by real people or if they were bought by what we used to call scalpers, but I guess now they're called third-party intermediaries or something.
Bots.
Bots. Well, yeah, but they're not even people. They're exactly, the bots. But, the secondary market is kind of interesting. I was looking at a concert. Somebody I saw at on the Pitchfork stream, I was looking up her dates in New York, and she's playing 3 dates in 1 weekend. I thought, wow, she's really blowing up. And then I thought, I wonder if there are tickets. And of course, there weren't. I think it was a $25 ticket. But on the secondary market, you know, for 70 or something, you could still get one. And then I looked at the whole tour, and I noticed that, well, like in some places like Atlanta, you could get a ticket on the secondary market for 20 something. But in New York, it was 70-something, and there were places where it was even more. So I don't even know why that happens, but...
Yeah.
It varies.
Unpredictable. Yeah. So Mama is originally from Los Angeles, but then they moved to Brooklyn for indie rock stardom just, I think, fairly recently. It's just the recent articles that have mentioned that. because even their Bandcamp still says Los Angeles. So,
right, which is why I thought we were trying, we were moving away nicely from Brooklyn this week, but we're not.
Yeah. So. All right, we played a couple.
Well, last week you had not last week. I can't remember what the lineup was, but 2 weeks ago it was Wilco, which is Chicago. It was Arcade Fire, which is, I guess, New Orleans now.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Soccer Mommy, which is Nashville. So you stayed out of Brooklyn for an entire week.
Yeah, yeah, we've managed to do that on occasion.
Every once in a while.
Yep. So yeah, okay. Mama, the album is Household Name. Let's. I really like number 7, Lucky. Let's play that one.
You know, you could pick 7, you could pick 9, you could pick 10, you could pick anything off this album. It's so good. I know, I already said that, didn't I?
Yep. Yep, it's solid. It's Mama.
Oh, we haven't mentioned that Mama is Etta Friedman and Allegra Weingarten.
Yep.
Plus, obviously, assorted other musicians in studio or on tour.
Probably
the two of them.
A hired bass player and drummer, probably. Hired guns.
Maybe, but they're good.
Oh, yeah. Man, they sound great. I was trying to find a little bit more about the production of this album, but I didn't find too much in my very quick effort at research. But
mastered by Grammy winning engineer Emily Lazar. So,
all right, that's good.
Yeah, but that's the mastering, not the actual production. So, I don't know.
Yeah,
it's all good.
All good. Check it out, Mama. And next,
yeah, I think that they make a good fit with Snail Mail. I think a lot of people who go to see Snail Mail are going to be listening to them and saying, "Wait, I have to check this out."
Right,
which one does when there's a really good opening act? Yeah,
right. Seems like a good match. Yep, if you could buy stock in Mama right now, it'd be a good time to buy. Right,
I think so.
Indie rock stock. There should be a thing like that, like a different.
Well, that
sort
is our that is our function, right? Isn't it?
Yeah.
To find the underpriced, the undervalued names.
Right. Totally. But I was thinking, like,
is when they do get big, instead of making money, what happens when they get big is that they start to play, or, you know, the big sites that we don't even want to go see them in because you can't get...
Because they're too big, yeah.
A good shot.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I was suggesting if there was something like indie rock cryptocurrency or something like that, you know? Indie rock crypto, then we could
right.
be, you know, at least we could cash in then, even if we don't
yeah.
get to see them live.
Yeah, the people, well, that's true. If there were such a thing, the people who first bought into Wet Leg would be like billionaires by now.
Right. I think I'd be people doing...
People heard that Wet Leg single and said, you know, I'm all in.
I would be not on that nearly that scale, but I'd be doing pretty well on my Horse Girl stock that I would have bought a year ago when they had three
Absolutely.
Songs.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's not on a Wet Leg level, but you know,
right.
it's pretty good. Because,
right.
Yeah.
Okay. Should we rock on to the next artist?
All right. Who we got?
Why don't we kind of go in, let's do the veteran, more known artist first, which would be Tomberlin.
Right.
Also known as Sarah Beth Tomberlin. If you've got a last name that sounds good as a band name, then why not? Tomberlin. I think we've talked about her before. She's been around for a while. She had an album a few years ago. I think it was called At Weddings. And I saw her open for somebody. Can't remember who. And it was her solo with an electric guitar. And it was kind of like the only thing I can compare it to was when I saw Florist. As a solo act, and she told everybody to sit down. It was like the quietest thing. And Tomberlin was that way too. And she's still pretty quiet, but this album, they actually put together a band to record the album. And I don't know if you
yes.
looked into this, but it's been a little while since I read this, so my memory might not be perfect. But I remember reading that they kind of just said, okay, here's your band, and we're going to put you in this cabin or something. You got 2 weeks to record the album, and apparently they really bonded and she had a great time and thought it worked out great.
Yeah, so, I did not hear that. That is not a story I know. But it's interesting you mentioned Florist because when I was listening to it, I kept thinking, yeah, I think this is what Florist sounds like. I'm not a big Florist fan, but that was a name that just popped into my head while I was listening to it. But here's my approach to this record. I feel like when it succeeds, it's because that band is really being employed well.
Mm-hmm.
And when she's going back to like native mode without the band, acoustic guitar, maybe a little saxophone, a little tinkling piano.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like they're letting her down. I mean, those are some of the songs that have that arrangement are really great songs, and I feel like they deserve better.
It's interesting how
again, just a question of somebody coming in and saying, you know what, how this would sound really great with, we need some bass, we need some drums, and now how does it sound?
Yeah, it the way it progresses, it starts out very quietly, and kind of more of the songs with the more full band sound are in the second half. So it's interesting that way. So, well, do you want to take the, I'll give you the first pick.
Right in the middle, actually. And then it ends with one of the best songs, which is the title song. And again, it has one of those, it's sort of a not exactly arranged, not a full arrangement. It's very light. And again, I feel like, It might be better served with a full band. The album is called I Don't Know Who Needs to Hear This, which is also the last song. But one of the most fully produced and one that I really like is number 8, Stoned.
Thank you.
Tomberlin. The album is I Don't Know Who Needs to Hear This. Yeah, what a contrast from how the album starts so quiet, and then you get up to track 7, and it's, or I guess 8, that was pretty rocking.
Yes. So you have a pick.
Mm-hmm.
You can either pick one of the rocking ones, or you can pick one of the quiet ones so that people know what we're talking about. But you know, I prefer the rocking ones. I don't know if which way you want to go.
I've got one that's not. It's kind of a medium one. It's probably more toward the quiet. So let's play that one. Number 5, Unsaid.
Left my home and a best friend, the places I could hide, for a city of 6-lane highways and lots of traffic lights. But I'm trying to grow roots here, keep my feet on the ground, but sirens swim in circles. The shore that I have found. Well, it's only been a few months, and I can't tell the difference. Was I happy in the quiet, all the open-handed distance from the
Tomberlin. So I think it's kind of a quiet by nature song, but it's got some good coloring in there. There's enough instrumentation going on to make it interesting. And also, she's an actually good singer, right? we have some indie rockers who aren't traditionally, you know, good singers, but boy, she can really sing.
Yeah, I think the voice is great. The songwriting is really spectacular. When it's fully produced, it's reminding me of one of my favorites from last year, which is the Adalia album.
Oh, yeah.
Not quite so dramatic and operatic as that, but, you know, a lot quieter, but still very, very similar in some ways.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have another pick, I'm just going to go with another rockin' one, following number 8, number 9, Happy Accident.
The point of this
Cumberland. So we have a consensus in our review, which is the more full band, the better, right?
Absolutely. So you didn't play number two, but cut number two. But cut number two has a great line when she says, "I know I'm not Jesus, but Jesus, I'm trying to be." So, that was great, and which reminded me of something, which is as I'm looking up her biography, she originally comes out of a very strict Christian upbringing,
mm-hmm.
against which she rebelled and then became the singer-songwriter that we know her to be, which is also true of our friend Torres.
Right.
Mackenzie Scott. Same life story. Boiled down to a sentence. Same background she comes out of. Also true of Katie Kirby.
Interesting. I didn't remember that about Katie Kirby.
There was one other. Oh, and Ethel Cain, who we saw it on the Pitchfork stream. Child of a preacher, Baptist preacher, and again, homeschooled and raised up in the church. And there are others. Those are just the ones that are off the top of my head.
How about the Crutchfields?
All singer-songwriters and all raised in this environment.
Oh, how about Lucy Dacus? Seems like there's a similar background there.
Yep.
And I can't remember if
in the church early on, yep.
The Crutchfields? I can't remember. They're from the South, from Alabama.
Maybe, although, you know, they were already starting bands when they were like 12 years old, so I don't know. They might have broken out of that real early, but yeah.
They were older than the Linda's drummer, though, right? We were talking about that yesterday. She was 10
That's
years
true.
Old when they
That's
started.
True.
Now she's about to turn 12, right? Is that what it was?
Yep. Yeah. Like,
I don't know.
The oldest Linda is 17. I mean, it's practically too old to be in the group.
Yeah. That's crazy. Crazy. I hope they're having fun, and I hope they have, you know, their parents around them so that they're not, like, exposed to the ugly side of the music business at too young of an age. Oh, man.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it's hard to know what they're going. I mean, can you imagine someone who's just in middle school and is also touring Europe?
Yeah.
I guess touring Europe during school break. I don't know. It's just kind of mind-boggling.
Yeah, it is. All right. Well, we've got one more band, and it's a fun one. It's a David Discovery. They were probably just walking down the street in front of your house in Brooklyn, right? And they looked like rockers, so you struck up a conversation.
They're definitely very local, but I actually had not heard the name. I actually you got to give credit. I actually heard about them from another podcast, and didn't even know they were locals.
Hmm.
Just knew that I liked the sound, and they were described as having just sort of a very generic kind of shoegazy sound. And I think that's true. You know, when you first listen to it, it's like, yeah, this sounds like a lot of other bands. And, you know, it's very professional. It's very tight. But, you know, I've heard this sound before. But the more I listened to it, the more I thought, wow, this is really, they are really an amazing group. They're called Sooner. And they are indeed from Bushwick, somewhere in Brooklyn. I think it's three guys. And their lead singer, she can't remember her name right now, but she is pretty amazing. We'll do our music journalism and figure it out.
Federica Tassano is her name. It's a cool name. It's always good to have a cool name.
Definitely.
Also, this was produced and mixed by Digo Best and mastered by Jenica Best, who are in the band Colatura. Who we've talked about and saw at South by Southwest. So kind of
so
cool.
We have a personal connection because you are very tight with the members of Colatura.
Yep, absolutely. So there we go. There's a connection there. But I hadn't heard of this band until you mentioned them, and I'm glad you did. It's a good one. So what are we going to start with?
Well, the album is called Days and Nights. I believe it's their second album. Or maybe, is it their second or is it their first?
Well, let's see.
I'm falling down on the music journalism.
On Bandcamp, there's a single before that album. Let's see. There's an EP from 2018. And yes. Let's see. And another EP from 2017. So it looks like it's the first full length.
It's the first full album. Yep. Well, you know what's great? Which cut is great?
Which one?
You'll be amazed. Cut two.
You just can't go wrong with number two. Let's do
Not
it.
Usually, no.
It's called Thursday.
Yep. It's somewhat shoegazy. It's somewhat jangly.
Yeah.
If there's such a thing as jangle shoegaze, then that's a wheelhouse. I don't know.
Yeah, that riff is a little New Order influenced too, which I think is great. That's a great track.
That's true.
Yeah. Fun Very stuff. Nice. All right. Let's get these guys out on the road rocking. That was right up at the top of my list. There was one other one I really thought would be good to highlight. That is number four, Persona.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.
That's sooner. So I thought they must have played gigs with Colatura, you know, their buddies, right? So I looked it up, and of course they have. I found this listing. Do you know a venue called Coney Island Baby?
I've heard of it, but I don't even know where it is, actually.
It's at 169 Avenue A. So there's a this bill.
So it's not in Brooklyn.
It's in Manhattan. Manhattan, right? Yeah. The band, there's a band called Gesserit. Gesserit, Colatura, Sooner, and Henry Something, August 4th. And I thought, oh, you could go to that, but you can't because it happened in 2019. So, wrong year. But they have played together. So, cool. Another fun band to follow, Sooner. Well, do you have another pick from the album?
Are you ready for a comparison that will make sense to like five people in the world?
Yeah, sure. Those are the perfect kind.
They remind me of McThaverskand from Sweden.
Okay, I get that.
From Gothenburg.
Yep.
A very high ethereal female voice kind of floating above a very dense array of guitarists underneath.
Yep, I totally get that. I'm one of the five people who got that comparison.
Right.
I'm honored.
You have to be, you basically have to be a listener or a participant in this podcast to even remember who they are, because they haven't been in the U.S. in about 7 years. Although they're now, for the first time since the pandemic, they are now touring Europe. So
maybe
they'll come here
someday. Sounds great. All right.
Europe outside of Gothenburg. Yep. Speaking of that sound, I think there's a really good sound on the next to last one, Pretend, track 10.
Sooner, and you justified your comparison. That's pretty good. Craig and I have this thing where we always make a, you know, give a description and then play a track that does not at all support the comparison that we made. But you scored on that one. The McThaverskand comparison was apt.
Thank you.
So there you go. Brooklyn strikes again. And
Brooklyn has provided us with $0 worth of content.
Right, they did. They totally. If you went to Brooklyn, it would cost more than $0. It's a, you know, being a much more expensive than average place.
For sure.
So, definitely $0 worth. Well, thus completes our regular lineup for the week. But as listeners know, that's not the end, right?
I've heard that it's not the end.
It's the bonus song of the week. It's the bonus song of the week.
Okay. I've got this one's bound to be controversial. Do you want to do yours first, or you want my controversial one?
Oh, no. I want to hear the controversial one.
I mean, I haven't even brought it up yet, but I'm just assuming it would be controversial because maybe not many people are going to actually like this, but I just think it's interesting. So let me add a little to the story about the we were talking about the Pitchfork Festival and how we were watching it on the stream, and Jeremiah was actually there. Well, the cool thing, even cooler thing, is that Jeremiah stopped by in Madison. We hung out for a bit the night before, and showed him a little Madison, some Madison landmarks, and that was great. We had a great time. And the only bad part was that Barrett got COVID and he couldn't come with us. So hopefully he's on his way back by now. But yeah, what a bummer. Like, everybody in my circle, all my friends basically have got in the last month or so. It's just really crazy. So let's get rid of this COVID stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, while we were hanging out, I saw this listing. I think I was just looking at listings of bands that were coming to Madison. And in the what I like to call the arena rock venue, the Sylvie, which is big for Madison, capacity I believe is 2,500. They announced this show in December, and the names of the bands were just so funny that I had to look into it. So it turns out it's basically a death metal show. And of course I hadn't heard of any of the bands, but most of them have these great provocative names that are supposed to, you know, they're supposed to shock you with their name, right?
Anurag might know these bands, but we
yeah. Don't. So, and then the other background thing is, I looked up some of the bands, and I think the headlining band is from Sweden. When you always hear about Swedish death metal, right? And the one of the other bands is from Liverpool, which you don't think of Liverpool death metal, you know. And then this band is from California, and they're listed fourth on the bill. But the name of the band is Cattle Decapitation. So I thought, okay, what is cattle decapitation going to sound like? And you kind of know what it's going to sound like, really. So this won't surprise anybody. Right. But I thought, well, you know, just out of curiosity, this is what's going on around us. The shows that we wouldn't go to. But if you go to that show, you might get to hear this. This is apparently one of their most popular songs. It's called Bring Back the Plague. There you go. So, you know, I think when I was thinking, like, what would cattle decapitation sound like, that's about what I thought. But man,
yeah.
Those drums, is that just like crazy or what? And whenever I listen to something like that, I think I could go and watch that band for probably, I could probably last for like 10 minutes and be like, wow, this is wild, you know, and then I wouldn't be able to, can you imagine listening to four bands in a row of that style?
No.
Anyway, maybe Anurag's
but
already
I appreciate
got
them for giving you the chance to say cattle decapitation at least three or four times in one podcast. I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, good. Good. I maybe some people deleted the file and they're gone now, but we're still here. Now maybe David will have
but
something.
But I just want to point out that we don't endorse actual cattle decapitation, only the band.
Right. Apparently they've got a
band, not the practice.
Yeah, they've got some kind of backstory where they're like vegetarians and they're like protesting the mistreatment of animals. That's actually what it says. Yeah.
So vegan death metal, not just death metal, vegan death metal.
Apparently, right.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's great.
They've been around since 1996. Yeah?
I have a bonus song in a genre that some people also find a little extreme. Okay, so there's a band I know I've talked about, Awake But Still in Bed.
Mm-hmm.
Great album a couple of years ago, and they haven't had another one yet, although I think we're basically on the verge. I think maybe in a month or two there will be one. And some people call it screamo. It's emo, and some people call it screamo, meaning because, you know, they just push it to the limit. So maybe there's some comparison to death metal there. I can see some people saying, you know, it's just too hard to listen to.
Mm-hmm.
But I think they're actually a great band. And they have what they have out right now is a split with another band, two songs each, so a mini EP, I guess you call it. The other band is called For Your Health. And actually, I think everything on this, all four songs are great. The Awake But Still in Bed song that I really like is called Ride. The split is called Hymns for the Scorned.
Got it.
And it's called Ride. And if this is what the Awake But Still in Bed album sounds like, then I love it. So.
Awake but still in bed. That's all one word.
Yes.
Good one. I like that.
Instagram is ABS ABSIB.ca for California.
All right. I was wondering.
ABSIBCA.
So they're from California. I was thinking maybe they were a Philly band. They kind of fit with some of those cool lo-fi power pop Philly bands.
Right. Well, I think we're on a similar wavelength here. Death metal and screamo kind of go together.
Well, I could listen to Awake but Still in Bed for a lot longer than 10 minutes, though. So that's credit to them. That makes me look forward to it.
You say that, yep. But you haven't heard the album yet. Maybe it'll just be so overpowering and it'll be too hard for you to listen to for that long.
Yeah, after three tracks, I'll just be
But when they're done. Good, they're really good.
Yeah, well, that's cool. Very good. All right. We had good regular content. We had good bonus content. That all adds up to greater than $0 for the listeners. So,
I believe they owe us some money at this point, but you know, we're not going to collect. I mean, I don't know. Maybe we are. That's not my decision. So
true. I was doing some math. I mean, this is a really complicated calculation, but listen to this math. If every listener got 10 people to listen, we would have, I was going to say 10 times as many listeners, but actually we'd have 11 times as many listeners then, if that happened. So let's do it, listeners. Let's do it. Let's increase the scope and the influential nature of this podcast, which isn't very right now, but you know, we've got our own little corner of the internet, a very small one. So
Well, you know, you have to get your powerful friends like the members of Kalatura to get behind.
Right.
It.
Yeah, right.
When they and Sooner are, you know, ruling the indie universe, then maybe we'll get more attention.
And how about the cool labels?
They'll be doing their interview on the Pitchfork broadcast, and they'll say, they'll be asked how they got their start, and they'll say, well, you know, there's this little podcast, this indie podcast, where we really started to catch fire.
Yeah, and you know, the record labels that we love too. That's we need to glom onto them a little more. Slumberland.
Oh, Paisley Shirt.
Paisley Shirt. Damnably, you know, there's several others. What's the label?
We have done so much work for Damnably Records, pushing Otoboke Beaver, pushing, when I say pushing, I mean celebrating.
Yeah.
Say Sumi.
Yep.
Who else is on Damnably?
Drinking Boys and Girls Choir, right?
Drinking Boys and Girls Choir.
There's a couple more we've talked about.
That's right.
Yep.
We should talk to George and what are their names? George
and Janice.
George and Janice, yes. Have a little meeting with George and Janice.
Yep, that'd be cool. If they want to come on the podcast, it's an open invitation. Let us know. That'd be cool.
Absolutely.
It would be, actually. I mean, we've talked to our own guy, Jason, of course, who has his small tape label. And we've talked to the guy from Paisley Shirt, Kevin. But it's fun to talk to these label people sometimes. See how the inner workings of the indie rock world go. So,
well, these are all obviously people with taste because they like the same things we do. So they must be people with taste.
Absolutely.
George and Janice must have the greatest taste in the world because their bands are just they don't have a band that's weak.
And their scope
they
is incredible.
Nothing but great bands.
It's like they search the world over too because they're not very limited geographically.
I think didn't they have a band from Scotland once?
I can't remember.
So it was one of the bands that South by Southwest in 2019 was on Damnably, but they were Scottish.
Was that
and
band that was?
Everyone else was from Asia.
They were kind of folky, that band, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Interesting. Yeah. Really cool.
They searched the world. It's true.
Okay. Let's sign off. Hopefully, I can get this one edited in time so we can have it go up on Sunday. There's a 60% chance. So we'll see. Probably can do it. All right. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk to everybody again next week with another edition of Will's Band of the Week. Good night.
Good night.
The Wells Band of the Week podcast is brought to you each week from Fourth Bedroom Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, with correspondents from the United States, Canada, England, and Australia. You can subscribe to the podcast on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere else podcasts are found. All of our episodes can be found at willsband.net. To contact us, send email to willsband@yahoo.com or find us on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram. Our theme music was composed by Grant and performed by Grant and Will. Thanks for listening.